This is Dave Glowatz. I'm here with Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. Thanks for coming to the broadcast, Ben.
Thanks for coming as well.
Today we're talking about Ben's column titled Funds and Games, Chicago 2016's Stewardship Report, that appeared in the Reader on September 10th, 2009. This article talks about the little-known, at least according to Chicago Press, stewardship report issued by Chicago 2016 about who's paying for the Olympic bid and how much they're paying.
My favorite committee.
When this report came out, it, I think, was eclipsed by the press coverage of the proposed Olympic budget examination done by a contractor to the Civic Federation, something I call the Audit Light, done by the...
Did you come up with that name?
I did.
Wow, that's pretty clever.
Most of the press coverage, in fact, all of the press coverage I've seen, other than your article, had to do with that report. First of all, how did the report get released? How did you come across it?
There was a press release that the Chicago 2016 committee sent out. This is all part of the great campaign that culminated with the city council vote approving of a blank check for the Olympics. So part of that process was the Civic Federation's green light report on financing these games. And then as part of that, the committee, the Chicago 2016 committee, issued a press statement saying, we are now opening up our books as part of our effort to be, what's the word they always say?
Transparent.
Yes, that's the word, transparent. And so I just followed the links to the report, and the report is really nothing more than your typical Chicago 2016 glossy statement with pictures of wonderful people smiling in Chicago saying we want the games. And at the back of the report, they had the list that I wrote about in my article, which of course, as I say in my article, is not really completely transparent because they don't tell you exactly how much anybody gave. They just put it in lump sums, and then they admit that it's not a complete list.
We'll come back to that in a minute, but why don't you think there was any coverage of it?
I don't know. I really can't. I mean, so why don't they cover TIFs? It sometimes baffles me. All I can do is speculate. You know, most of the major media gave money to this effort, and they probably didn't want to write about the fact that they're tied in at least this minor way.
Do you really believe that? That that's one of the reasons that it was ignored? That because, as you report, that most of the major news outlets in Chicago gave money to the Chicago 2016 effort or in-kind contributions, they didn't want to highlight a report that identified them?
I think, well, let me put it to you this way. There were references to this report in the mainstream media. There was no analysis of it. There was no breakdown of it, nothing on the level of what I did. But there were references to it, and I can't remember which newspaper mentioned in passing that Sam Zell gave, I forget how much he gave, and I believe they may have even mentioned that the Sun-Times gave. I'm not quite clear about that. So it was sort of mentioned in passing, but I don't think they were going to give a tremendous amount of attention to it because it would expose their own participation in this buildup, and which includes in-kind contributions of some sort, I'm not sure what, that almost all the major media outlets have given. So for instance, this week, there were full-page ads in the Sun-Times and the Tribune calling on the world to support Chicago's Olympic bid. Based on this report, I wonder, did the Olympic Committee pay for those ads or were those pro bono in-kind contributions? I don't know, but I'm starting to think that there's a good chance that they were pro bono in-kind contributions. So this would not be the sort of thing that the papers would want to call attention to.
If that's true, then that's an example of how the news outlets are compromised.
Absolutely. Quick, give me a rewrite. I'm astounded. No, I mean, you just see how many, I forget, there's a list in the article, I can't think of all of them, but there's so many outlets, you know, Channel 2, NBC, WTTW, Fox 32, you know, and I mean, we do have to draw a distinction between working reporters, who are the working stiffs, and the people who own the stations.
In your article, you quote only one person who explains their contribution in terms of the possibility that the millions of dollars in Olympics contracts will come down the pipe and they don't want to be left out, but you don't identify what particular industry that person was in.
Well, actually, that person was just sort of speaking in the vaguest of terms. Like, we were trying to figure out what would motivate somebody to give money.
He or she was speaking hypothetically.
That's the word I'm thinking of. You're really much better than I am today.
I'm just transparent.
Words. Yeah, you're transparent. You're a dictionary. So I've discovered when in discussing issues that involve Mayor Daley, most civic leaders prefer not to comment at all unless they have something really booster-like to say. And so if they want to be critical, they asked to speak off the record or not for attribution. Sometimes it's not clear if they understand the difference between the two. It doesn't really matter. And so then I said, well, then let's just have a conversation so you can enlighten me, because I want to be enlightened as to how a civic leader thinks. And so we'll have then
a candid conversation
where they all, in terms of the Olympics, express mixed feelings. They're not quite sure that the games are in Chicago's best interest, or they'll put it something along the lines of, if I were the ruler of the city, I wouldn't be investing this much time and energy into them. They're almost agnostic. You know, well, I don't really feel that strongly for it. I don't feel that strongly against it. I think the money could be better spent, but, you know, I'm not a fool. This is what the mayor wants, and sometimes you have to go along. That's the best possible spin or support you'll get from people who are, other than people who come right out and say, I'm a booster. And I'm really not interested in hearing them. If you're a booster, okay, then I understand why you gave money. If you're not a booster, that's what, let's discuss. Why would you give money to a cause you don't believe in?
Speaking of transparency, you spent a bunch of time in your article talking about the level of contributions made and the people identified in each level. And apparently the stewardship report doesn't detail exactly how much money contributors made, but just talks about it in terms of levels of, you know, 50,000 or more, 100,000 or more. Do you feel that's really necessary? I mean, my reading of state law, when it talks about the ethics requirements for state employees, has a similar requirement. It requires employees who get gifts or outside income to report simply the source, but not the amount. So do you feel like the 2016 committee should be held to a higher standard?
Well, first of all, I think the 2016 committee should be held to the same standard that politicians are held to. When you're giving political contributions to a politician, you can't just say, I'm in the category of 100,000 and above. You specify exactly. There's rules and regulations governing this. Effectively, the Chicago 2016 committee is beginning this tremendous power to control and shape our future here in Chicago. They have virtually free reign over parks and schools and billions of dollars in public funds. If they are not a public entity in name, it's a legal distinction. And reality is they have as much power as any entity in the city of Chicago other than Mayor Daley. I would say they're an extension of Mayor Daley. So if they are, in fact, invested with all this power, they should be willing to abide by the laws of all the other power makers. And that means identify your sources of income. Furthermore, they say they want to be transparent. They want to prove to the world how open they are. Okay. So what's the first thing they do when they issue the report? They're not open. They're general. They put general clumpings. What they're doing is they're using the standards that most not-for-profits use. For instance, if you look at the Art Institute or the Goodman Theater or the Steppenwolf Theater or the Lyric Opera or what have you, if you look at their programs, when you go to a performance, go to the art museum, what have you, you will see a list of benefactors, and there's just general clumpings. They don't say how much everybody gave. There's just like the Gold Club is 100,000 and above, et cetera, et cetera. So they applied those loose standards to themselves. Well, I don't think the Art Institute or the Lyric Opera should be required to write with specificity on their programs exactly how much everybody gave them. They're not the same sort of public entity as this quasi-public operation that's seizing control of our parks for the next 8 years.
They're not as powerful.
Absolutely. The Chicago 2016 committee, I would argue, if we get the games, will be second only to Mayor Daley in terms of power in the city of Chicago.
Well, the organization that succeeds Chicago 2016.
Yes, the organization that succeeds it. And working in conjunction with the International Olympic Committee in Switzerland and the United States Olympic Committee in Colorado, they will effectively have veto-free control of our parks and schools and billions of dollars of public dollars. So I feel, at the very least, they should allow us to know who is paying for this party.
And we'll find out whether we're going to be paying for a party in about 3 weeks.
Yes, sir. October 2nd is the day.
Looking forward to that day. Ben Jarofsky, the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Peace out, brother.
This is Dave Gloetz. We've been speaking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.